This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas State Senator puts the blame off for the suicide of a little girl in Gainesville. That senator puts the blame on the president.
Dallas Hospital, February 8th. Her mother found her unresponsive 5 days earlier at their home in Gainesville, Texas. Having difficulty coping at school, Jocelyn was meeting with a counselor. State Senator Roland Gutierrez blames President Trump for her death.
Bullied by kids that said that her parents were undocumented and ICE was going to come for her and for them and they were going to be deported. She took her life. Her death is on your hands.
Her obituary said she loved to sing and dance. She was buried on Wednesday. From the 24-hour news center, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
According to the New York Times, the deportation hub there could eventually hold up to 10,000 people as they move through the deportation process. They say three people familiar with the plan said Fort Bliss would serve as a model as the White House develops more such facilities on bases nationwide from New York to Utah. They say the plan is in the early stages, has not been finalized, and it would open beds for holding migrants, but it does raise questions about redirecting military resources. From the 24-hour news center, Barbara Schwartz, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, homeless shelters across North Texas have been full this week as people looked for shelter from the cold temperatures. David Stucker with the Austin Street Center in Dallas tells the Associated Press that sleeping on the street in these conditions can be very dangerous.
You know, one night at low temperature is miserable, but two nights and three nights and four nights, it starts to become a danger to life and limb.
Yeah, he says they also work with their clients to find long-term housing.
Well, that measles outbreak in West Texas is now up to 90 cases. Earlier this week, the number is 58. 16 people are now in the hospital. Nearly all the cases involve kids and teens, the majority in Gaines County. Health department says the cases have been concentrated in a close-knit, under-vaccinated Mennonite community. This woman in daycare in Lubbock, she says despite the outbreak, her facility is accepting any child.
Sometimes you have a family who does not choose to do that, and that won't exclude them from being enrolled.
There are now 9 measles cases now in New Mexico, so it's gone over the border. So far, no evidence that the outbreak is connected to the one in Texas.
Suspect in the shooting death of the CEO of United Healthcare several months ago came up from behind him on a street in New York City, shot him in the back and killed him.
And then took off.
They got him in Pennsylvania finally
and McDonald's.
Brought him back. So he's going to be in court today. We're going to find out more about that and bring in CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum with us on KRLD. What are we expecting today? What is this hearing all about?
Well, you know, this is the first appearance he's making since he was arraigned in court the last time. Remember the last time when he was arraigned in court, he was screaming at the press. You didn't really hear what he was saying, but he was making it very clear that I'm here to protest the American medical industry, and we're all being deluded by them, and we're all being corrupted by them. And so people were realizing, oh my God, we have a live defendant here that is here on a crusade. You know, so it makes the case really, you know, what people don't realize that this is a very unusual case. There is a website that his lawyers have put out where Mangione is making public statements to his fan base. He's raised $500,000 for his legal defense budget from that website. This is his way of communicating. He's getting mail. People are writing to him on the website, showing their solidarity and support, telling them why they're, you know, rooting for him. There are people outside today's courtroom with signs cheering him on. So when people say, they've asked me, you know, is he looking for a plea deal? I say, I doubt it. I think he wants a podium. He doesn't want a plea deal. The evidence is very strong, both circumstantial and direct. But I think he's there. He's not there to say that I didn't do it. I don't think he's there to say that I was mentally impaired. I think he's saying what I did was righteous and true.
You mentioned that website, and then you mentioned these people. What kind of a scene do you expect outside that courtroom when he comes in? I mean, last time we saw him, he had probably about 20 guards behind him. Do you expect kind of a madhouse between guards and then, quote-unquote, fans or people just onlookers?
Yeah. No, I think that he has attracted the kind of attention. You guys are probably too young, and you are not from New York City, but this is very reminiscent of the Bernard Goetz case. People may not remember Bernard Goetz. This was during a time when New York City was very, very ridden with crime. I was living here during the time. People did not want to go into the subways. They didn't like walking around at night. And people were getting mugged in subways all the time. This older man bought a gun and took it into a subway car. And four African-American teenagers came to rob him and push him around. And he shot all four of them. And in fact, at one point he said, I don't think you got enough. And he shot one again. And he was acquitted of the main charges. And you're going, what? How could he possibly have been acquitted of the main charges? Well, the citizens of New York City were sick and tired of crime. And they saw him as a kind of a folk hero standing up. But I mean, he was clearly guilty of what he had done. And I think you have a very similar thing here. The evidence is overwhelming, but there's a cause that he's fighting, and it's going to be difficult to pick a jury.
That is a very interesting comparison. And by the way, bless you for thinking I'm too young to remember Bernard.
Yeah, Mike had to tell me all about this. So
what might come out of this?
Were you even born?
Will they set a trial date, perhaps?
Yeah. Today, yeah. I think that what they're going to do today is to say, have we exchanged evidence? Do we know what this case is about? Right. What is your case? It's a pretrial hearing, right? Before we schedule the date, before we start picking jury, you know, here are the charges. There's been an arraignment. There's been an indictment. Here's what the evidence look like. What is your witness list going to look like? How many days do we need for this trial? Right. This is sort of the logistics, right? How long a trial do you think we're going to have here? So I think that's what the judge is really trying to figure out. I wouldn't be surprised if the website comes up today. I wouldn't be surprised if the prosecution says, hey, they've turned this into a media circus. They've turned it into a website. The problem is, you know, the government can't restrict the defendant's speech. We saw that with Donald Trump. The attempts to do that worked to some degree, but Donald Trump, you know, kept arguing, don't I have a First Amendment right to speak in my defense? The judge said, no, because you can't obstruct justice. We need you to, there's certain things we want, certain level of decorum. So I wonder whether the website will come up because it is the talk of the town. It does equal the power, you know, it sort of evens the stakes a little. You know, the government always has the upper hand, but the website and the fan base equalizes that a little, and I'm sure that the judge will hear about it.
I understand he's gotten some marriage proposals on that website too.
Is that true? Wow, I love that.
That
shows you how you see how crazy that'll sound to the judge that there are marriage proposals on that. And believe me, if what you're saying is true, the prosecution will tell the judge that today.
He's got some fans for sure. Thane, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's great information. It's CBS correspondent and legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum with us. I guess it's time for Zach Martin to start getting that Hall of Fame acceptance speech ready.
No doubt.
The clock is ticking. He's got 5 years now before he'll be headed up to Canton. That after announcing his retirement yesterday. Huge loss for the Cowboys. Zach Martin is one of the best offensive linemen ever.
Definitely for the Cowboys. He's all pro. I mean, he's going to definitely go into that ring of honor
no question.
Very soon.
But after 11 seasons, he's hanging it up. And in doing that, he's walking away from a lot of money.
If your projected value was in seven digits, mm-hmm. it's not like they're asking him to take a massive pay cut. He could have got 10 plus million a year. He's like, nope, I'm sure. good. We've kind of been getting that vibe from him for like the last 3 years that maybe yeah. when his contract was over, he'd be done. I never believed it. He was still really good in pass protection last yeah. year. Even though he was playing compromised, he'd still be one of the best 15 or maybe even top 10 guards in the league.
Yeah, one of his best friends is Travis Frederick. And I think after he got injured, that he and Travis Frederick sat down and had a conversation. And I think it got emotional. I think it really got emotional for Zach that this could very well be the end. And, you know, he was kind of talking in a way, well, I don't know, I'm a free agent, we'll see. But I think that after that conversation with Travis, that he made a decision that he's likely was going to hang it up. And you know, his best friend kind of talked him through it, and he made the decision. So, yeah, it's a hell of a football player right there. You know, if you look at overall Hall of Fame guy one day, for
guarantee.
Sure, with the way that he played.
34 years old, would be 35 in the middle of next season. He's played 10 years. The injuries have stacked up on him, and he's made, according to Spotrac, I mean, $112 million in career earnings.
So, okay.
I mean, the need to play, unless you're just so still in love with the grind of football,
yeah,
there's really no reason to.
There's a lot of pain involved, you know, and not just from the injuries that he sustained in recent years. And he was always great at playing through injuries.
Right. I love this, though, because I don't want, I mean, would it have been cool if he was able to remain healthy for another season and be able to go win a title somewhere, not name Philadelphia or Washington? Yeah. Sure. But also there was the opportunity to go out there, be injured, try to play, mm-hmm. and be a shell of yeah. yourself. And you got glimpses of that for a good chunk of this past season. Do you yeah. want to go out being not the version that you remember yourself?
And you avoided like the catastrophic injuries that might impact the way that you walk for the rest mm-hmm. of your life. And that can have impacts down the line, as I'm finding out, with your hip and your back. Like, he can still likely play with his grandkids in 15 or 20 years, or, you know, whenever that comes. So, hell of a career. And I love the fact he starts and ends with the Cowboys.
You're talking about Travis Frederick. Remember, the Cowboys had Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith all in their prime.
And good Lord, that was the second wall of Dallas
yeah,
that was as good as those Super Bowl teams.
And Zeke running in his prime, running behind them.
See, that's the one thing I think we forget about how good that line was at one point. And Frederick, unfortunately, had, I can't remember,
Guillain-Barré
disease. Yeah. And he had to, and that's what I thought was very poignant that Brian pointed out in that piece, is he talked to Travis Frederick, and yeah. Frederick, they're good friends. And he said it was an emotional decision, but as I'm sure it would be. But he said it's probably best for him to do it.
Cowboys
love
have
the fact that he stays with the Cowboys.
You look at the Cowboys and that offensive lineman they've had. Is Zach Martin the best? Because, I mean, you're talking Larry Allen, Eric Williams.
He's up there, and that's
Tyron
what's crazy.
Smith.
Yeah. And can you? And I always remember Zach Martin. We drafted him from Notre Dame, but and there was a certain somebody that wanted to
get Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel. Could you imagine if they, instead of Zach Martin?
And they talked Jerry down off that cliff.
I got to take some chances now.
And they took Zach Martin instead, and thank God they did.
That was the best thing Stephen Jones said. Get that card out of your hands,
How
Daddy.
Good is Zach Martin? He was a seven-time first-team All-Pro. That means you are better at your position than anyone else in the league.
That's incredible.
Seven times. The only other Cowboys to accomplish that, Bob Lilly and Randy White. So he's the first offensive player to be a seven-time first-team All-Pro. But here's the statistic that blows me away.
You're absolutely right. I can't wait to hear this, but this shows you how good he is.
This best sums up Zach Martin's career. 11 seasons and in 162 games. Over those 11 seasons, he got called for holding seven times in 11 years.
Tyler Guyton has seven times in one series.
That's it. Seven times in his career.
Do you realize how hard that is for an offensive lineman to do? He has the same amount of all pros as he does holding calls. That is, you'll never see anything like that again.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.